Our first reading this morning is going to come from the epistle of 1 John. We'll be reading from chapter 4, beginning at verse 7 and reading through verse 20-21. And it is found on page 1067 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his own Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 15 of John's Gospel, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 8, and it is found on page 939 of your Pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. It's the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning contains the last of the great I am sayings that we find in the book of John. There are seven of them in all, and I'm sure that you are familiar with most of them. They are sayings where Jesus takes the divine name, I am and attaches a metaphor to it to tell us something about his identity and work in the world. He says things like, I am the light of the world, or I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the good shepherd. But this morning is the last one, and it is one of the most memorable because Jesus likens himself to a vine, like a grapevine in a vineyard. And he says, I am the true vine. In other words, he is the one who keeps everything connected. He keeps us connected to God, connected to one another, connected to life itself. I am, says Jesus, the true vine. In chapter 10 of John's gospel, Jesus says, as we saw last week, I am the good shepherd, acknowledging that there may be other shepherds out there that people may be tempted to follow, but he is the only good shepherd. He is the only shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. But this morning, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Again, acknowledging that there may be other vines out there that we feel connected to. But he is the only true vine. He is the only vine that could bring us life, abundant life. And so he says to us, abide in me. I am the true vine. So abide in me. In the Old Testament, Israel is often likened to a vine or a vineyard. Israel is the people whom God was carefully cultivating and pruning so that they might bear fruit worthy of God. But now Jesus says that he is the true vine. He is the true Israel. I am the true vine. Abide, says Jesus, in me. Abide in me. I like that little word, abide. We've heard it this morning in our readings. Several times it was mentioned. It's kind of an old-fashioned word, certainly not a word that one says very much anymore. When's the last time you heard anyone ask you to come and abide with them? But even though we don't use the word a whole lot anymore, we all know what it means. It means to stay. It means to remain. It means to dwell, to persevere, to stay connected, to stay grounded. And that's what Jesus means when he says, abide in me. Not only do we know what the word means, of course, but we also know what the word looks like in action, what abiding looks like in action. I was watching a little bit of the funeral the other day for former First Lady Barbara Bush, who passed away last week at the age of 92. And it was mentioned that she was married to former President George W. Bush for 73 years. 73 years is a long time to abide with one another. They got married at a relatively young age, in their 20s. George Bush was in the Air Force, in the Army in World War II, World War II pilot, and he met his wife, Barbara, while she was still attending college, and they began their romance and their life together through good times and bad times, through tragedies like the death of their 3-year-old daughter, Robin, through the triumphs of political life and family life. For 73 years, they abided with one another. It's hard for many people to imagine today, especially many young people. I remember one young man saying, 73 years. You can be married 3 or 4 times in 73 years. And indeed, he's right. But that's the way many people lived with each other. They abided with each other for a lifetime. But this morning, Jesus is inviting all of us to abide in him. Abide in me. Stay in me. Remain with me. Dwell with me. Abide in me. But how do we abide with Jesus? Maybe we know how to abide with one another. Maybe we know how to abide a little bit with our spouse. But how is it that we abide with Jesus? Well, one way we do it is by doing what we do today, by gathering together as we have this morning to worship. Jesus says that whenever 2 or 3 are gathered together in his name, that he is in our midst. So every time we come together to worship, we are not only abiding with each other, but we are also abiding in him, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only abiding with him, but we are staying connected to the source of life. I know we've all heard people say things like, I don't need to come to church in order to abide in God, to stay connected in God. I don't have to go to church to be a spiritual person. But in fact, you do. None of us can abide in the Lord by ourselves. We all need one another. And so we are all called to abide with one another. And in abiding with one another, in gathering together with each other, we are abiding in Jesus. But we not only abide in Jesus by coming to worship. To abide in Jesus is also to abide in love. Not the syrupy, sentimental kind of love that is often on display in our world today, but the radical, self-giving love that was displayed by Jesus himself. You know, so much of our religious faith is somewhat self-absorbed. Oftentimes, when we talk about love, what we really mean is loving ourselves. And sometimes our love of God is because we are looking for God to do something for us. So it's often about loving ourselves. But Jesus was never self-absorbed. Jesus was never concerned about himself. Jesus' love was always a love that was outward looking. Jesus was never concerned about his own life. He loved everybody. He loved those who agreed with him, and he loved those who disagreed with him. He loved those who had questionable morals. He loved those who were situated on the wrong side of life. He loved publicans and he loved tax collectors. Jesus loved everybody, including enemies. He even loved his enemies, which would be you and me. You know, we were Jesus's enemies, as the Apostle Paul reminds us. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for all of us. Jesus loved everyone. And in doing so, he was showing us the heart and the mind and the character of God. He was showing us that God is love, as our epistle reading reminded us this morning. And if we are going to bear fruit worthy of God, then we're going to have to love as well. We're going to have to abide in love, abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is what Jesus invites us to do. Abide in me. That's what he says. Jesus tells us that unless we abide in him, we won't be able to do much of anything. We will be like withered branches cut off from the source of life, unable to bear any kind of fruit. The only thing that we'll be good for is to be bundled up and burned. Last week when we were doing work around the church, I was doing some yard work outside and collecting some of the old branches that had fallen from the big tree next door to the manse. And also along the fence were some bushes that were not able to bloom. And I was able to just to take those bushes and pull them up because they weren't rooted and grounded in anything. And we just piled them up and threw them away so that they could go and be burned. And that's what Jesus says, that unless we abide in him, we're not worthy, we're not able to do anything. The only thing that we're good for is to be thrown away and burned. I used to think that that was an allusion to the lake of fire. You know, abide in Jesus, and if we don't abide in Jesus, then we will go to hell when we die and burn up in the lake of fire. But that's not quite what Jesus meant. Usually when Jesus starts talking about fire and brimstone, he's not talking about a place called hell that we might go to after we die. Rather, what Jesus was doing was warning his contemporaries that unless they uproot themselves from their resentments, unless they uproot themselves from their animosities and their misplaced zeal, unless they uproot themselves from their fears and abide in his way of self-giving love, then they would end up bringing disaster upon themselves. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus' contemporaries, to the people of his day. They rejected him and they were persuaded to follow other shepherds, other leaders. And 30, 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jerusalem was burned to the ground, just like the old trash dump, Gehenna. Jerusalem was burned and Israel was destroyed because of the animosity and the anger and the resentment of Israel, believing that they could somehow usher in God's purposes through violence and anger and resentment. That's just not a warning for the people during Jesus' day, but it's also a warning for all of us. There's so much in our world today that is broken. So much in our world today that is filled with strife and brokenness. Everywhere you look, it seems that people are filled with animosity and resentment. You can't even turn on the TV anymore without there being some kind of animosity and resentment. As Americans, we've become people who are deeply, deeply polarized and divided. And unfortunately, the church, instead of being people of healing, we too have become people who participate in the polarization and the divisiveness. It's usually because we too have grounded ourselves in some other vine. We too are abiding in some other place. We are abiding in resentments. We are abiding in our fears. We are abiding in our animosities. We are abiding in our social identities, whatever those social identities might be, whether it's, you know, race, whether it's blackness, whether it's whiteness, whether it's male or female or God knows what else, whether it's blue or red. We are abiding in those identities, and the end result is that we are not bearing the right kind of fruit. We're not bearing fruit that's worthy of God, worthy of the kingdom. Fruits of love and compassion and joy. Instead, the fruits that we are bearing are fruits that bear witness to our willingness to participate in the hell that we are subjecting each other to, and the hell that we are subjecting our world to. The Bible says that we will be known by our fruits. But it's in the midst of all of this that Jesus invites us to abide in him. I am the true vine. That's what he said. I am the true source of life. All of those other vines can only bring death. All of those other vines can only increase the fear and the resentment and the animosity and the brokenness and the divisiveness. I am the true vine. I am the true vine because I am the vine that shows the heart of God, the heart of love. And Jesus is abiding us to participate in that. He is inviting us to abide in the ways of love. We are reminded this morning that we all need pruning in order to bear the kind of fruit worthy of God and worthy of the kingdom. We all need pruning. We need to prune all of that other stuff away from us. All of those old resentments, all of those fears, all of that willingness to participate in the brokenness and divisiveness of the world. We need to be pruned of all of that so that we can begin our vocation as men and women who are connected and grounded to God, and therefore connected and grounded to the way of love. Abide in me. Abide in me. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. To stay with him. To dwell with him. To live with him. Because he is the answer to the brokenness of our world. There was an old song we used to sing when I was a kid. It went something like, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Forgive my singing. But I remember when we used to sing that song when I was a kid, and it seemed kind of silly and corny back then. But we need that song today more than ever, particularly when we listen to all the other songs out there. We need to be reminded that we are people who are called to love, because we are people who are called to work for the healing of our world. And that can only be done when we are faithfully abiding in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be your people. You have called us to be Easter people, to be resurrection people, to be loving people. We ask, Lord, that you help us to abide in you to recognize that you, who you are, that you are the God who has come to be with us, the God who has shown us the path to salvation, the path to self-giving love, which you made possible for all of us by your own willingness to die for us on the cross. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.